wish I could live through something.
Aren't you?
Nope. The only exciting thing about 2002 is that it's a palindrome.
Okay, fine. Well, yours is the worst life of all, so you win.
Oh, so now you're mad?
No, it's just you're being ridiculous because you have a great life.
I'm sorry, I'm not perfect.
No one's asking you to be perfect. Just consider it would do.
I don't even want to go to school in this state anyway. I hate California. I want to go to the East Coast.
Your dad and I will barely be able to afford in-state tuition.
There are loans,
your brother, your very smart brother, he can't even find a job.
He and Shelley work. They have jobs.
They bag at the grocery store. That is not a career, and they went to Berkeley. Your father's company is laying off people right and left. Did you even know that? No, of course you don't, because you don't think about anybody but yourself. An immaculate heart is already a luxury.
Immaculate fart? You wanted that, not me.
Miguel saw someone knifed in front of him at Sac High. Is that what you want? So you're telling me that you want to see somebody knifed right in front of you?
He barely saw that. I want to go where culture is, like New York.
How in the world did I raise such a
snob? Or at least Connecticut or New Hampshire, where writers live in the woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom!
You can't even pass your driver's test.
Because you wouldn't let me practice
enough. The way that you work, or the way that you don't work, you're not even worth state tuition, Christine.
My name is Lady Bird.
Well, actually, it's not, and it's ridiculous.
Call me Lady Bird like you said you would.
You should just go to City College. You know, with your work ethic, just go to City College, and then to jail, and then back to City College, and then maybe you'd learn to pull yourself up and not expect everybody to do everything.
We're disturbed by your posters.
It's just a bird head on a lady body, or vice versa.
I think it's a little upsetting.
It's my tradition to run for office. Don't worry, I won't win.
That's not what I'm worried about.
This won't mess with my scholarship, will it?
No, you're okay there.
You have a performative streak, I think.
Yeah, I think that too.
Maybe you would enjoy theater arts. They're having auditions for the fall musical.
Do we have that here?
It's a collaborative effort with the men at Xavier.
How am I a senior and not know we have that?
Perhaps you haven't always been an active part of this community. They do a fall musical and a spring play, and from what I hear, it's a real blast.
What I'd really like is to be on Math Olympiad.
But math isn't something you're terribly strong in.
That we know of yet. Thanks. Julie doesn't need to be in quotes.
But it's not my real name.
It's not the same thing.
I'm not sure you're right.
I'm not sure you're right. Well, good morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, my name is Alethea Botts. I'm the executive pastor of discipleship here. Our lead pastor, John Alice, is on vacation with his family. So remember him in prayer as he rests and renews. And this is our second year doing this, I believe. But July is at the movies at Rolling Plains. I know many of you, when you saw the poster for Lady Bird, you're like, really? Lady Bird? I'll tell you the truth, I never even saw the movie before I decided to preach on it. You know, I was told to look for movies that are popular and everything, and then let's take a look at it from God's perspective and see how God might want to redeem that story for his glory. And I started looking at Oscar winners, and Pastor John picked all the good ones, no. But I saw this one called Lady Bird. It was a sleeper. According to industry language, it never was expected to be nominated for anything, let alone an Oscar. And it began to intrigue me why this movie may have resonated so deeply with the American audience. Lady Bird is a story, and I'm not... I'm not promoting the movie. I'm not suggesting that you go see it. It's, in fact, an R-rated movie, but I'll touch on that a little bit later. I'm not going to see any R-rated footage in here, okay? So breathe. All right, but Lady Bird is the story of this strong-willed teenager, Christine McPherson from Sacramento, California. She has dubbed herself Lady Bird. She yearns to get out of that hometown in Sacramento. She wants to attend college on the East Coast, New York, perhaps. And in the story, her equally opinionated mother, she's a blast, right? How many of you would have jumped out of the car with Lady Bird? mom is rough, right? But she's struggling to provide for her family, struggling to help Christine be her best person. I think what this film does is it celebrates the complex strengths and the struggle of family relationships, of teenagers, of a middle-aged mother, of people trying to discover what life means for them and for others. She wants, Lady Bird's mother wants her to be her best self, but that can only be realized as we come into an awareness of who we are and as we understand our identity. Until we figure that out, friends, like Lady Bird, we have to live in this tension of expectation and the tension of exploration. And in the process of that, we often create masks and facades and things. When we kind of fake it, we go along through life faking it until we can really figure out who we really are. So I believe this movie probes some deep issues that we all struggle with, issues like self-identity, acceptance, and faith. Faith is really just meaning-making, trying to make meaning out of our lives. That's one way we can look at faith. You know, in the opening scene, Lady Bird is destined for somewhere. She wants to go anywhere except Sacramento. And like most teenagers, she has this passionate desire to break free, to break away from, to break out of what she believes is limitations. And one of those things is her name, her God-given name. And she doesn't know what she wants, but she knows she doesn't want to live in Sacramento, and she also knows she doesn't want to be called Christine. So here's our first Lady Bird quote. "Call me Lady Bird. I don't want to be called Christine." Perhaps some of you in your lives have not really appreciated the name that was given to you at your birth, and you're like, call me anything but that, because your vision of what that name implies is very different from maybe how it was given to you. I want to wrap this whole story around two scriptures, and the two that come to mind are, number, the first one comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The second scripture comes out of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 12. "For now we see through a glass dimly or darkly, but when we come face to face with Jesus, we know in part, but then we shall know even as we are known." Those two scriptures are going to take on some meat as we go along through the story today, and I hope that it helps to illuminate those scriptures and that they can be guiding promises in your own lives. These are two of my hallmark scriptures in my life. The first is really a journey scripture. I have to constantly remind myself and about others that each of us are a work in process. You know, part of what makes Lady Bird an R-rated movie is the reality of that fact. You see, life is full of R-rated moments. R-rated moments of what we've said or what we've done or what we've experienced. But what we want to remember is that no one thing defines who we are. Not even a series of things can ultimately define who we are, especially when we come into relationship with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The second scripture that we talked about, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, that how we see through a glass dimly. It's actually my mother's favorite verse, her memory verse. It's one of her two mantras that she has said throughout my whole life. We only know in part, Alethea. She always lets me know with the fullness of what we're trying to understand, the fullness of what we're trying to experience and to live out cannot be fully known, not in this. But there will come a time at Christ's appearing that we will know even as we are known. You know, I think that's the frustrating thing. We only know in part. That's the part that takes faith, that we can't walk by what we see, but we have to walk according to the Word. And if the Word tells us that there will come a time when we are fully known and that we will fully know, we have to wait and we have to exist in that tension. You know, it's interesting that we often can be so sure of who we are, yet at the same time, we often question someone else's identity. So I want to talk about identity for a minute. You know, I love Julie's response in the opening clip there, right at the end. Lady Bird, she puts Christine, and in quotes, Lady Bird McPherson. Julie sees it and says, that looks cool. And she puts her name and she puts Julie in quotes. And Lady Bird, even though she's defining herself, wants to then take that opportunity and try to define how Julie sees herself. Julie tells her, not sure if you're right. You know, we label people a lot. We try to identify people a lot. There ought to be a flip side on every label that we put on other people. And that flip side should say, I'm not sure that you're right. I'm not sure that you're right. You know, identity is a very complex and very intimate thing. We are often conflicted, like Christine in the movie Lady Bird and her friend Julie. We wrestle with uncertainty in our lives. We wrestle with who we really are and how we really want to be known. We wrestle with what other people think of us. And when our innermost desires will materialize into an image that is authentic for us, that is meaningful for us, that is life-giving and purposeful. You know, when my parents divorced when I was 8 years old, sadly, I lost my identity. I don't know why it happened like that, but I did. I lost my sense of self-worth. I lost my sense of worthiness. I went to school the next day and I wrote on the chalkboard, I hate myself, I hate myself, I hate myself. You know, the severing of my family when I was 8 was the beginning of my undoing and my quest for trying to discover who I was. Truth is, I didn't want to be known as one who had come from a broken home, and I didn't want to be known as a person who was part of a divorced household. And so at age 15, I wanted to recreate life for myself. And as I began to unfold to my mom my plans for that, having a baby at 15, moving to North Carolina, getting married at 15, and divorcing at 18, she probably wanted to jump out the car. How maddening that must have been for her. I'm sure that my attempts at trying to figure out life for myself was horribly embarrassing for my mother. Heartbreaking to know that her daughter would drop out of high school, would choose to get pregnant, would want to be married and try to form a household at the age of 15. I know it was heartbreaking for her, and it was heartbreaking for me, even though I thought I had it all figured out. You know, my journey, my life was wrought with some painful realizations and decisions that would forever change my life. But no one decision, no one thing or series of things can define who we become, especially in Christ Jesus. You know, on this side of the cross, in our grace state, we often find it frightening or even stupid when we look at other people going through their life journey, going through their madness, going through their mess. Well, on this side of the cross, we look at people when they're trying to identify themselves outside of God, outside of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we have to remember that we ourselves haven't always known what it meant to identify ourselves with Christ. We haven't always known that we are indeed the children of God, born of water and spirit. We haven't always known or lived into the fact that we have been called to accept one another, that we ourselves have been accepted in the beloved, that we are accepted by Christ in order to bring praise unto God. We haven't known that people watch us, that we are the Bible, that we haven't always known that we're the Bible that people read oftentimes, that we are the very image, the visible image of the body of Christ. We haven't always known or lived into the reality that in our baptisms, we are clothed with Christ, that we're no longer black or white, we're no longer male or female, we're no longer rich or poor or Baptist or Methodist. It's no longer about who's in and who's out, but it's about that we're all one. We struggle to identify with who we are. We struggle with valuing others, and we struggle with others' experiences. But day by day, we're trying to work it out, trying to figure it out through the scriptures and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it takes reproof. Sometimes it takes correction. But the biggest thing God wants us to know that life is a journey. It is a process. And if we borrow from our two scriptures that we're looking at this morning, we can never see clearly where we are right now. We're seeing only through a glass dimly. We only know part of it, but everything becomes clearer as we continue the journey. And along that journey, often our identity or the identity that we've chosen for ourselves and the ones that others have labeled us with aren't who we are at all. Sometimes they're just illusions. Sometimes the identities that we choose for ourselves and the identities that we try to label others with are just illusions. Our identities can certainly be that. Sometimes we get mean about it and say it's not an illusion. They are delusional. There is no way that's who you are. You think you're that? And people say we're delusional. Like the term ladybird. For Christine, it's an illusion of who she wants to be. It's who she is, at least for right now. And for right now, no one else can prove it otherwise. Let's look at the next clip.
I love this neighborhood.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
If I lived here, I would definitely have my wedding in the backyard.
I'd have friends over all the time to study and eat snacks. I'd be like, Mom, we're taking the snacks upstairs to the TV room.
I'd have my own bathroom.
Wait, where do you live?
Oh,
the 40s.
That's where our starter house was. Which street?
44th. It's the three-story blue one with the white shutters and the American flag in the front.
Yeah, I know that one. Do you want to go over there right now and eat? I live in Granite Bay, otherwise I'd say let's go there.
Actually, I was thinking maybe we should go to the Deuce. I was talking to Kyle about it, and he was like, whatever, it's lame, but maybe I'll see you there.
How do you know Kyle?
Oh, my mom made me get a job at New Helvetia to learn, like, responsibility. Anyway, we hang out there.
Yeah, Kyle's awesome. Let's juice it up.
Okay. So, guess where I am?
I don't know, where?
Ding dong, I'm outside.
What?
I'm standing outside.
No, just leave.
My. Illusions. Here, Lady Bird and Julie are walking around dreaming about who they like to be and admiring this big blue house and who they might be on the inside of the house. And sometimes, you know, when we covet other things and when we begin to look and envision our lives through another set of lenses, we can create illusions, these false ideas that are very different from reality. So if you're taking notes this morning, just, you know, under illusions, it's a false idea or belief that's very different from reality. Lady Bird says, leave. You know, she's struggling with where she is right now. You know, do you know how much energy it takes to try and be something that you're not? And when reality comes breaking through this thinly veiled facade that we create, it can be life-shattering. It can be life-altering. In any case, we're forced to face reality. When we struggle with our identity, we are struggling. The struggle really is to know ourselves, even as we are already known by God. Now, you won't have an opportunity to see this, but during the movie, Lady Bird ditches her friend, Julia, at the beginning of the movie to hook up with this little rich girl that you just saw there. She ditches Julia for an opportunity to be known by the in crowd. We all want to be known for something oftentimes beyond who we really are. It's about character. It's about social class. And we can create these illusions that either are self-created or that are adopted by another person's lifestyle or their way of living. And I believe that those illusions are born out of our need to control. Our need to control our lives, and they're born out of fear, our fear of being controlled by others. We want to control our own lives, and we don't want anybody else to control our lives. Hence the reason why it's so hard to come and lay at the altar and say, okay, God, have it your way. Hence the reason why so many people struggle with this thing called salvation, because they have to give up their way of life for God's way of life. But what I love about it, and was on my ordination banner, was that, you know what? I'm fully His, and I'm finally free. I'm fully belong to the Lord, and I'm finally free. Free from the facades, free from all the things that I wanted to be, free from these images and trying to create an identity on my own. I was able to finally come into the identity of who I am in Jesus Christ. You see, a false sense of identity can lead us down paths. It can cause us to pursue people that maybe God didn't desire for us to pursue. It can lead us down paths and searching for power and positions, cause us to covet and yearn for things that weren't meant to be ours. And all the while, we're restless. We often become angry and driven. And if we can't have it, we'll just make it up. People can tell us that's not the way you ought to go about life. People can tell us, oh, there's an identity in Jesus Christ that, oh, if you just serve the Lord, you can know who you are. But until you experience it for yourself, it's just, we really can't hear it. And we're left in this kind of state of limbo, as it were. It's in the place where we are right now, but it's not the place where we shall be. It's that living in the tension. We hang on to our sense of personal identity until we find out who God designed us to be. Only then can we let go of the imagined self and the illusions and the facades. And there's multiple layers. It's very complex. Our lives are. You know, the disciples had to figure out who they were. You know, Jesus you know, found them as fishermen, but they had to figure out what it meant to be fishers of men. Peter had to figure it out when Jesus asked him, you know, who do men say that I am? And then Jesus rephrases the question and say, but who do you say that I am? Peter says to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know what? That didn't come from somebody telling you. That came from experience, your intimate relationship with me. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter. But that was revealed to you by the Spirit. And on that principle, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will never, ever be able to prevail against it. Moses had to figure it out. After murdering a man, he goes and lives in exile. He tries to create a life that's apart from his Hebrew brothers and sisters. But for sure, at some point in our explorations, at some point in our illusionary, meaning-making lives, our lives are going to connect with, and they're going to collide with others, and they're going to collide with God. Let's take a look at this next clip.
Larry, how long will this hold us?
I don't know.
Well, somebody's got an open room. Miguel?
I'm not sure.
What happens if somebody gets in an accident?
The severance package, I think, expires all at once, not within the calendar year.
Is she home?
Maybe just leave it tonight.
No, she knows better. She can't sneak around like this.
Mary.
Christine, you can't leave your room like this.
I didn't.
None of these things were put away right. They aren't nice,
I
Christine.
I put my clothes
now.
Away. My name
Don't
is Lady.
Don't lie to me. This uniform, this is going to look like trash on Monday. This isn't right. We can't treat our clothes like this. I don't know what your wealthy friends
Why do. Why do you care what I do to my clothes?
Your father doesn't have a job. He lost his job. Do you need him to come in here and explain that to you? Of course, he probably wouldn't anyway. He's Mr. Nice Guy, and I always have to be the bad
guy. Can we please just talk about this
tomorrow? I can't look like a rag, because that makes us look like rags. And you want to know the truth? Here's the truth. Some of your friends' fathers could employ your father, and they're not going to do it if it looks like his family is trash. You understand?
Didn't you ever go to sleep without putting all your clothes away perfectly? Like even once? And don't you wish your mom hadn't gotten angry?
My mother was an abusive alcoholic.
My Lord. My mother was an abusive alcoholic. That was her mom's story. Christina's living out her own story, really sort of disconnected from her mom's story and the story of her dad. And sometimes we attempt to try and live in isolation of others. Christine is trying to discover who she is. The mom is desperately trying to control and protect her family. And the dad, he's just trying to maintain some sense of calm. And to me, he's kind of the Christ figure in the story. And I remembered Pastor John's message, words of mouth. Clearly, Christine's, her mom's words don't give life. Many of us have had similar experiences and have been either on the receiving end or the giving end of such words. But then you realize that your life is being experienced in connection with others. I think for the first time, Christine begins to realize that her mother's life is being experienced through her own traumas. You know, I think that we all struggle with seeing past our own stories, seeing past our own experiences. And in doing so, we either intentionally or unintentionally clothe others with garments from our own closets. But what God wants us to know is that all of these connections and even collisions those times of intense times of fellowships, those times where you just butt heads and come to loggerheads and things blow up. These are wonderful opportunities, believe it or not, to see others and to see another person's story, to understand that who we are is inextricably tied to our relationship with God and our relationship with others. To see, if you're taking notes, where our stories connect, and to see where our stories often collide. Perfection is what her mom is searching for. Wrong slide, we're not there yet. Control. All born out of fear and that abusive relationship that she had with her own mother. But we cannot live as though other people don't have a story. Our connections and our collisions give us an opportunity and a privilege to really begin to understand what we're really made of. That we, despite what we might be experiencing today, that we, despite what we may have experienced in the past, we are the beloved of God. We are being formed into the very image of Jesus Christ. And friends, it does not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, but when we shall see him face to face, we will know it, even as he's already known it. You know, Moses seemed to have it all together living in exile. He was cool. He had control over his situation. But when he connected, when his connection with his Hebrew brothers and sisters collided with God's purpose and will for his life, Moses was challenged to see himself as he was truly known by God. Yes, he had a lot of excuses, and I'm not good enough, and trying to enter into the life that God wants us to have, it can be difficult. But that perfect love of God in Jesus Christ, perfect love casts out fear. There's another scripture in 1 John that says, the one who fears has not been made perfect in love. I want to tell you that that was a scripture of deliverance for me. I lived in fear for many years, fear of anything, storms and people, the dark, and fear of failure, and fear. And when I saw that scripture, see, this is how scripture informs our life. This is how scripture is authoritative for our life. When I saw that scripture, the one who fears has not been made perfect in love, I said, oh, make me over. Make me over. Make me to fully know and to experience your love. And with that prayer, the fear was cast out. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God knows how to make the crooked places straight in our lives. So what I'm after here is just some personal introspection and some insights that we can gain from an otherwise R-rated movie, if you will. Here's some questions. What is your story? We're watching the story of Lady Bird and her mom trying to work it out. What's your story? And are you able to see the hand or the finger, the movement of God or the movement of the Holy Spirit in your story? Are you able to see those connections and collisions? And hopefully I want you to see that they're purposeful and they're mindful. God has purpose for all of those. And what can help us is to really get a full understanding, like I got a full understanding of fear and love, to get a full understanding that as believers, we live in the already but not yet kingdom of God. We live in the already but not yet kingdom of God. What am I saying? We already have eternal life, but we've not been yet resurrected. That's the already but not yet. We've already been made clean by the word of God, but we have not yet been delivered from this body of sin. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be. Think on that as we look at the last clip.
Family, please leave a message. Thank you.
Hi, Mom and Dad. It's me, Christine. It's the name you gave me. It's a good one. Dad, this is more for Mom. Hey, Mom. Did you feel emotional the first time that you drove in Sacramento? I did, and I wanted to tell you, but we weren't really talking when it happened. All those Bens I've known my whole life, and stores, and the whole thing. Tell you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Christina's finally made it to New York on her journey. But as she's traveled along, some things have been made clearer to her. What we're talking about now is illumination. You know, if you follow the story to its ending, and that was the end, there's really no happy or sad ending with Lady Bird. There's really no easy answers, only the stuff of life. And instead of fabricating a false sense of self that's based on having things, doing things, if we journey long enough, we can experience an identity that is based upon our new birth as beloved children of God, where we can pick up the phone or in prayer and say, "Hello, God, it's me. It's Aletheia. It's the one whom you call to preach truth. It's the one whom you formed for this very purpose and this very moment right now." God knew how to make the crooked places straight in my life as a teen, mother, wife, high school dropout. God knew how to get me to my master's degree in ordination with the United Methodist Church. God knew. God knew that my mother's pain would not always be painful. She would not always be heartbroken. In fact, she is so proud of me to follow in her United Methodist heritage. If you're taking notes, another Lady Bird quote there is, "Hello, Mom, it's me. It's me, Christine." It's that simple acceptance of who she really is. It's where we are at any given time in our lives. She's realizing that in Sacramento, even though her mother wanted her to go to Immaculate Heart, which she called Immaculate Fart, right? She finally realized the beauty of where she's from and the appreciation. And she just wanted to say, "Mom, I love you. Mom, I thank you. You weren't perfect. Yeah, you were a bit controlling, but I love you. I get it, Mom." It's a realization that, if you're taking notes, that life can be a beautiful thing. Life can be a beautiful thing if you don't try to make it something that it's not. And if you can come to that place in your journey where you can simply say, "Thank you. Thank you for the heartaches. Thank you for the high roads. Thank you for the valley places. Thank you for that pain. Thank you." You realize that pain has a right in your life until its work is done. Everything has purpose. Do you believe that? Life is that lifelong process of sanctification, of being set apart for God. We want everybody to receive the Lord and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want it to be like this. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're perfect. Don't sin again. Don't be anything but. It's a journey. It's a journey. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, why don't we just open our Bibles and find that verse? Because one thing I want you to underline in that verse is that God is at work in you. God is at work in you and I. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the end part of the beginning there says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." God is always working in us for his good pleasure. God always has plan and purpose for our lives. I remember my mom's favorite scripture, "Now We Know in Part." Or her favorite mantra was this: "Alethea, Teddy, Larry, Cheryl, my siblings, no amount of your wanting a thing to be so will make it so." In other words, you got to put some skin in the game. No amount of your wanting a thing to be so will make it so. Life is a process. Life in Christ is a process. It is a process of sanctification. It's like a dance, this ongoing, cooperative, and choreographed process that is purposely designed by God, uniquely designed for you, and for you, and for you, and for me. No one else can do your part. God is always doing his part, but he calls us to do our part, and no amount of simply wanting it to be will bring it to pass. No amount of our desires for others to get it together and to get it right is going to make it so. No, it takes a decisive will. It takes our decisive will. And when our will connects with and converges with God's will, beautiful things can happen. Beautiful things can happen. Beloved, we are God's workmanship. We are created in Jesus Christ for good works. Good works that God prepared for us beforehand. Before time was even written, God prepared that we would walk in them. Each of us have a path to follow. Each of us are in a lifelong struggle for meaning, for purpose. in the process of meaning making is our faith. It's a process of discipleship, of following Jesus Christ. That's sanctification, that finally coming to the point where you are set aside for God's purposes, sits at the crossroads of the realization of God's ongoing work in us and Him setting us apart for His will and purpose. And when we get that realization, when that illumination happens in our heart and in our head and our spirits, in our lives, we get to experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives causes us to do better. It causes us to be better. And it causes us to live better. Beloved, each of us is an ongoing story in which we experience the already but not yet realization of who we are and whose we are. A realization of coming to know ourselves even as we are already known. For even though we are yet working it out day by day, even though our lives are continuously being unfolded, as believers in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, our names are already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? It's good news, good news. So friends, despite the R rating of the movie and the worldly matter that was addressed in this film, Hollywood dared to take the stuff that life is made of. And we've taken it. We've dared to take it as an opportunity to redeem it for the glory of God. And sometimes I think we could do better with that. Sometimes I think we could do better from the pulpit. Sometimes I think we could do better with each other. We can do better handling the R-rated stuff of life in a way that continues to value and appreciate and understand where a person is at any given time. So here's a few takeaways, and we're done. In every great story written and in every life story, in this journey called life, there will always be conflict. There will always be a climax, a point where you want to jump out the car, a point in which you get that revelation, a point at which our lives converge with the life of God and the will of God. And there will always be resolution. By all appearances, if you were to follow the movie all the way through, the mother and Lady Bird never really resolve anything. They just come into a greater awareness of who each of them are in relationship to the other. It also appears that the story is just left in limbo. And friends, that's what we're called to do, is to live in that tension of the already but not yet, but to be mindful that the Lord's work is ongoing and it's intentional. And it always, always has purpose and destination. Beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be. For now we see through a glass dimly. For now we know in part. But on the day of Christ's appearing, then you shall know, even as you are already known by the one who made you. Be encouraged. Amen. God bless you. I want us to take a few minutes and think about, pray about where we are in our journey.